beloved brothers and sisters, is there anyone that doesn't know Brother Richards? Is there anyone who doesn't know the great missionary he has been? When I was a member of the stake presidency in Arizona, Brother Richards came to our stake, and after all the thousands of good things that he had to give us, I remember so very well that he and I both went down to Miami, Arizona, to conclude our conferences, and we sat there and talked about the gospel most of the evening. I don't know whether he will remember that or not, but it was very impressive with me. We went, the presidency of the stake went with some of the general authorities down to a New Mexico stake, and we got caught with the plane breakdown. They had to send back to Denver to get some parts. The rest of us were sitting around, kind of waiting, but we saw Brother Richards got that pilot and the girl that was waiting on us, and he taught them the gospel. That's the kind of a missionary we have. I think he mentioned 28,000, and now I think we have 29,000 plus. Anyway, we're very, very grateful for Brother Richards and all the other brethren who have been as faithful as he explained for us in his sermon. It's been a wonderful conference. It has been good for all of us to be here. I've been grateful for the remarks of the brethren who have spoken. The Lord has answered their prayers for divine help in the preparation and delivery of their sermons. I express appreciation to all of you who have traveled so far to come here, some of you at great sacrifice and inconvenience. We're grateful for your devotion and ask the Lord to bless you with the capacity to be touched in your hearts by the message you have heard. Long after the songs we have sung and long after we have said our last amen, we realize so much depends on what you, as leaders, do as you return to your homes to work again with those in your stakes, wards, and individual homes. I should like to refer to the great story of the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt to the Promised Land. In that story, there is an account of one special man which moves and motivates me and inspires me. His name was Caleb. Shortly after Moses led Israel out of bondage from Egypt, he sent 12 men to search out the promised land and to bring back word about living conditions there. Caleb and Joshua were among the group. After spending 40 days on their mission, the 12 men returned. They brought back figs and pomegranates and grapes, clusters of grapes so large it took two men to carry those grapes back to the people of Israel. The majority of the search party gave a very discouraging report on the promised land and its inhabitants. Although they found a land that was beautiful and desirable and flowing with milk and honey, they also found that the cities were walled and formidable, and the people, the sons of Anak, looked like giants. The Israelites' scouts said that they felt like grasshoppers. In comparison, Caleb, however, saw things a little differently with what the Lord called another spirit, and his account of the journey and their challenges was quite different. He said, "Let us go up at once and possess their land, for we're well able to overcome it." Joshua and Caleb were men of great faith, and they joined in urging that the Israelites go, that they go immediately to the promised land, saying, "If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it unto us, a land which flourisheth with the milk and honey." Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But the faint-hearted Israelites, remembering the security of their Egyptian slavery and lacking faith in God, rejected Caleb and Joshua and sought even to stone them to death. Because of their lack of faith, the children of Israel were required to spend the next 40 years wandering about and eating the dust of the desert, as you will remember in this story. When they might have feasted on milk and honey, the Lord decreed that before Israel could enter the land of Canaan, all of the faithless generation who had been freed from bondage must pass away, all go into eternity, all except Joshua and Caleb, for their faith. They were promised that they had their children, they and their children, would live to inhabit the promised land. 45 years the 12 men returned from their exploration of the land of promise. When the new generation of Israel, under the leadership of Joshua, were completing their conquest of Canaan, Caleb spoke to Joshua. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord sent this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, at least in the spirit of the gospel and its call and needs. My strength was then, even so is my strength now, both to go out and to come in. From Caleb's example, we learn some important, very important lessons. Just as Caleb had to struggle and remain true and faithful to gain his inheritance, so we must remember that while the Lord has promised us a place in his kingdom, we must ever strive constantly and faithfully so as to be worthy to receive the reward. Caleb concluded his moving declaration with a request and a challenge with which my heart finds full sympathy. The Anakins, the giants, were still inhabiting the promised land, and they must be overcome, said Caleb. Now 85 years. Give me this mountain, he asked the Lord. This is my feeling for the work of this moment. There are great challenges ahead of us, giant opportunities to be met. I welcome that exciting prospect and feel to say to the Lord, humbly, give me this mountain. Give me these challenges. Humbly give this great pledge to the Lord and to you, my beloved brothers and sisters, fellow workers in the sacred cause of Christ. I will go forward with faith in the God of Israel, knowing that he will guide and direct us and lead us finally to the accomplishment of his purposes and to our promised land and our promised blessings. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I will wholly follow the Lord my God to the fullest extent of my energy and my ability, earnestly and fervently. I urge that each of you make this same pledge and effort. Every priesthood leader, every woman in Israel, each young man, each young woman, every boy and girl, my brethren and sisters, I testify to you that this is the Lord's work and that it is true. We are on the Lord's errand. This is his church, and he is its head and the chief cornerstone. I leave you this testimony in all sincerity with my love and blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.